All right. Welcome again to another edition of the Edlow Podcast. Subscribe, subscribe, subscribe. We are doing it. Here we are. Doing it again. Another Just Me. You know what? I just realized this is not Just Me number 11. This is Just Me number 12. So let me change that banner. That's right. I've done a year's worth now of these Just Me podcasts where people send in questions, sometimes emails, sometimes something a little more in-depth, a lot of just basic comments. And, you know, it's fun. It's nice. And it's also nice to not have to figure out and schedule with somebody else once in a while and just be able to talk about things in my mind and answer your questions. I'm not a professional therapist or motivator or anything. But you know, sometimes I can just add my experience to whatever you're going through. Got a lot of anonymous questions. I got one kind of longer question, I guess. I don't know. It seemed a little more flattery or whatever, which I wasn't particularly comfortable with, but anyway, we can get into that. All right, so why don't we just delve right into some of these questions? So just so everybody's aware, if you're not following me on or following my podcast, whether on Facebook or Instagram, once a month I announce that I'll be doing one of these, and I post a link to a place where you can post or ask anonymous questions. And they're completely anonymous. I don't know who they're coming from at all, so it's just completely random. And then I also provide one where if you don't want to do that, you can just send me a direct message, or you can send me something in a comment or whatever, but I still keep it all anonymous on here. Even if I maybe know who you are. And then I'm always open to anybody sending me an email or a message, asking me a longer question about something going on in your life, or a question about the law or wrestling or whatever you want to ask me about, and I'll do my best to answer it or tell you I can't. But you know, I have a pretty high opinion of myself, so I'm pretty sure I can answer anybody's questions. So, anyway, so here we go. So first question, WYD. So I'm assuming that means what you're doing. I'm recording a podcast. That's what I'm doing. Yeah. So thanks for that. Let's see. You should get a tattoo. I definitely should not. I just look, I'm not comfortable putting anything permanently on my body just because, you know, you never know what's going to happen. You know, for all I know, the best thing, you know my luck, I do like a Metallica tattoo, and then one of them would get canceled probably because of something they said in 1997, and I'd have it stuck on my body forever or whatever. So not going to do that. And it's just also, I think tattoos on some people look really nice and they're kind of cool. They just have never really been my thing. Like, it's just not something that I've ever been interested in doing. And so now if somebody wants to come on the podcast and explain why they might like tattoos and what that's all about and how they express themselves, I'd love to have that that conversation. So there you go. Let's see. Your sense of humor cracks me up. Well, thank you. If you're talking about the dad jokes, I do like watching my kids roll their eyes at me over and over and over. Yeah, I like to have fun and I like to laugh. And so thank you. That's very nice of you. You're my biggest crush this year, NGL. I'm too old to know what NGL means. Thanks. I don't know. Thanks. Moving on. Do you know your personality type? You know, I've had a personality test. I have these friends, Rob and Joni. They're no longer married, but they were at a time, and they were just like really into this, and they would make me take this test. I feel like a lot. And I think, if I'm not mistaken, I was like an ENFJ or something like that. I don't know what that means. I don't remember. I do remember hearing that, I think I remember hearing that being an attorney did fit my personality. So yeah, I think that was that. Let's see. I got a couple of these. Favorite part of your trip, and how was your trip to WrestleMania? I had a blast. So for those of you who don't know, I for Christmas, I gave every one of my kids a special trip with me. So Piper got to do one in December that she had wanted to do for a concert down in LA. And in May, I'll be doing one with Lexi. And then, but for April, the boys, what I did was I combined them to do a super trip to WrestleMania 40. And the reason for that was because, I mean, it was a little selfish because I had the feeling that The Rock would be returning and wrestling. And I kind of wanted my kids to experience The Rock at WrestleMania, what I thought would be one last time. It does appear that he's going to have a larger role in the WWE going forward. Which I wasn't expecting, but still we had a great time. And it wasn't just the fact that it was, you know, the wrestling part, but Philadelphia was just such a cool town. One, I'm a huge Rocky fan. Everybody knows that. So we were able to do the Rocky steps and also the statue, and then also take about a half a day and just drive to all the locations where they filmed. So we got to see Rocky's apartment, Polly and Adrian's apartment from the first movie, or house from the first movie. We got to see where the pet store was and the gym was. We got to see where the docks were, where, if you've seen the Rocky movie, where Rocky is loan sharking. We got to see where where the opening training montage goes. We got to see a number of different places as well that I'm not thinking of right now. But then we also went to, in Rocky Balboa, he owns a restaurant called Adrian's. It's a real restaurant actually called Victor's Place. And Victor's Place is a 100-year-old restaurant where all of the servers are opera singers. And so we walk in and it looks exactly like it looks in Rocky Balboa and in the Creed movies. I mean, it looks identical. So you're feeling like you're really sitting there because you really are, right? And then... and the food was amazing. So we got to do that. And that was, I think, just for me as a Rocky fan, really cool. And it was cool because the server, every 30 minutes, a server would sing a piece from an opera. And so I asked one of the servers, I go, so is there like a heavy opera community here in Philadelphia? And apparently there was. And I did not know that. So that was kind of cool. That was fun. And then also there was just a few other things. I mean, obviously doing all the historical stuff, we got to see the Liberty Bell and Independence Hall. We went to Valley Forge, which was pretty cool. And, I actually didn't think I would enjoy that as much as I did. I really did. I really enjoyed seeing, you know, where the revolutionaries, you know, they, you know, just kind of where they trained and where they lived and where George Washington's headquarters was. My kids basically told me I was too tall for the Continental Army, and it was true. I was bumping my head on everything. So that was pretty fun. And then of course, just all the wrestling. So we did, for those of you who are not wrestling fans, I mean, WrestleMania has become a huge gathering. I mean, I think they said they sold 201,000 tickets to the various events the WWE put on. And we, our hotel room, was actually right across the street from the WWE World Convention, Reading Terminal, and the WWE Superstore, and where all the wrestlers were staying. So, so yeah, there were a ton of, I mean, it was like everywhere, WrestleMania people everywhere. And we ended up, we didn't do SmackDown because we did an ECW reunion show at the ECW arena, which I thought was really cool. I mean, we got to see the Sandman. The funny story there was that the Sandman, again, for those of you who don't know, and this isn't going to matter to anybody who's not a 90s deep hardcore wrestling fan, but the Sandman was one of the biggest acts in the ECW. And Sandman, for those of you who don't know, ECW stands for Extreme Championship Wrestling. All of the stuff you see now where people are getting hit with chairs and getting thrown through tables and doing ladders and barbed wire and all that stuff, that really all kind of came from, I mean, it was always present, but it really became more prevalent because ECW was doing it so much and they were actually gaining quite a counterculture kind of underground following just through trading VHS tapes and internet, which was new then. And the Sandman was one of their biggest acts. And the Sandman was not exactly the best wrestler, but his entrance was just iconic. They would play Enter Sandman the whole song. And he would just walk around the crowd, just drinking beer and smashing beer cans on his head. And he carried this big, what they called a Singapore cane, this giant stick, and he just beat people with the stick. That was kind of his thing. And so, of course, he made an appearance at the show. And when he made the appearance at the show, he came around to our side and he handed Austin a beer. And so obviously Austin didn't know what to do with it. And he just ended up putting it on the ground, but it was just really funny. And just as a wrestling fan, you know, that's a really cool moment. But as a Mormon, you're like, ah, you know, so that was kind of fun. And then also just going to WrestleMania and watching, it was just so magical for me. It's so fun for me to, as someone who's been involved in the wrestling business since like 1997, 1998, I wouldn't say the magic is gone, but like the curtain has definitely been pulled back for me. And so that same magic that was there when I was young or when I was a teenager is not quite the same. So it was kind of cool to go with Austin and Lincoln and watch, especially Lincoln, get so excited when things happened in wrestling. And to watch him get so stoked when John Cena's music hits. And it was actually really cool because Austin, you know, I sometimes wondered, I was like, is Austin really into wrestling that much, or is he just into it because I'm into it, you know? And you know, I don't know. Is he really that interested? And it was just kind of cool to see, especially because I was hoping that when, and I'm really speaking to wrestling fans, because if you probably have turned it off if you don't care about this, but The Rock wrestled on night one in a tag team match. And then on night two, The Rock was interjecting into the match between Roman Reigns and Cody Rhodes, which was the main event. And various wrestlers, various run-ins happened from wrestlers from the past. And the first one was John Cena came and had a face-off with The Rock. And then I was hoping, I think everybody was hoping, that Stone Cold Steve Austin would show up. Because he's The Rock's ultimate rival, but he didn't show up, but The Undertaker did. Okay. And so they hit The Undertaker, which was cool too. And The Undertaker actually, as he's running out of the stadium, ran right by us, which was kind of cool. But anyhow, I was talking to Austin. I was like, man, I was just really hoping Stone Cold would be there because that's like my, you know, my teenage generation, that was like the feud. And he was like, yeah, but Dad, don't you realize, like, for me, The Rock and John Cena, that was my feud, right? And I was like, he's right. Like, that was his thing. And it was just cool to see him kind of own that as, like, that was his memory of when he loved wrestling. So it was just kind of cool to share that with them. I think that and we spent a day traveling Amish country, which was really wild. It was just interesting to live that, to watch people live that way. They were actually the coolest people. Like, I thought they were going to be really weird, you know? And they really weren't. I mean, They looked a little strange because they were wearing like 1800s clothes, but generally they were just like regular people, you know, just talking to them. And they just, yeah, I mean, they just live a different kind of life. And it was kind of cool. Their food is amazing. But anyway, the reason the trip was so special was not necessarily just because of all the wrestling and because of all that. It was special because, like, you know, as I've shared on here before, and I think I even posted, I know I posted on Facebook, this was really kind of the last time when I was going to have both of my boys with me on a trip when they're both still boys. With Austin graduating high school, you know, his status changes and our relationship changes. He's become an adult. And so even though we'll probably still do trips and stuff and there's still some time, I mean, I'm taking him on a trip in July he got into an honor choir, international honor choir. So we're going out to England, which will be cool. It was really like the last chance I'm going to have to just enjoy my boys together. And it's something that I can't believe is here. You know, I can't believe he's old enough to be graduating high school. Like, it's crazy to think that now he's like on the precipice of creating his own life. And, you know, for me as a father who's been heavily involved in kind of, I feel like I've been very involved in shaping, you know, who he's become. It's a wild thing to think that now, you know, he is going to go out there and make the best of what he has. And I'm really proud of him. You know, I really can't say enough how proud I am of him, because he's got the tools to do something really special. If he hangs on and he goes on the trajectory he is, and he's as focused as he is right now, he's going to do some great things. And, you know, as a father, you know, you always hope secretly, even though you're always trying to prove that you've got it and you're better than them or whatever. All of us, I hope, at least I personally have always hoped and prayed that he would become better than me. And yeah, like, I think he's poised and ready. He's definitely more prepared than I ever was at his age. So I am, you know, everyone who listens to this knows I'm a dad first, you know, and I think the coolest thing about being a dad is I can't wait to see where these kids end up. I can't wait to see what they do. They're all so talented, so smart and funny, and they just got these great little personalities, and they're all in their own way, very driven in their own ways. Sometimes I wish they were driven in other ways, but I'm really excited to see what comes of their lives. And I just can't, it's a privilege that I even get to be a small part of it. So anyway, that was cool. My favorite part of the trip, I can't really pick one. You know, I actually enjoyed just like, I don't know. I don't think there was a part. I mean, obviously WrestleMania was my favorite part of the trip. Just to see them get so excited. But I mean, even just like, I love that, like, Lincoln found a donut shop at Reading Terminal that he absolutely loved, and we went there, I think, almost every day so he could get the same donut because it's his favorite donut. And it just, you know, I hope that those are things that he is going to, when I am old or gone, he's going to talk to his kids about the trip he took, you know, to WrestleMania. And so, anyway. So, that was a long answer. Okay, just wanted to remind you how awesome you are. Well, thank you. Everybody's really nice these days. Appreciate that. Favorite cereal? Oh, easily, hands down, Cinnamon Toast Crunch. And not just like any generic brand, but real Cinnamon Toast Crunch. Now, if you're going generics, I recommend S'mores cereal. Is amazing for a generic. And I think the Frosted Flakes, you can get generics and they're totally fine. But Cinnamon Toast Crunch, you got to get the original. You just do. You can't, you know, you can get the, what do you call them? The breakfast toasters or whatever they are from Malto Meal. And they'll do, you know, in a bind. But it's just a real box of Cinnamon Toast Crunch. It's just amazing. So that would be it. You busy this weekend? Yes, I am. I'm always busy every weekend. So there we go. Okay. You're super genuine. I love that. I appreciate that. I do try to be genuine in what I say, especially if I'm trying to help somebody. You know, the advice usually comes from the heart. So appreciate that. Who's your last IG search? I don't know. I don't search anybody on IG. I mean, it's probably like Derevco or Trip or something, just so I could send them a message. Let me check, actually. I think there's a way you can check that. Let's see. Yep, it's yeah, it was Trip. So yep, that was my last IG search. That's funny. I love those guys. Anyway, all right. Oop, I just lost that out of there. Let's see. All right. What show or movie do you quote the most? Oh, that's a good question. I think I quote The Office a lot. I quote Anchorman a lot. Just by virtue of like that escalated quickly, I think is one I use quite a bit. A lot of Will Ferrell movies, I think I quote quite a bit. Yeah, I think that's it. Oh, Dirty Work. I quote Dirty Work quite a bit. Especially with Note to Self. Note to Self. I don't want to live. I miss Norm Macdonald a lot. That, yeah, I think those are probably the ones that I quote the most as far as comedy. If I'm going to quote a movie as like a motivational thing, it's probably actually Rocky Balboa, which is the sixth installment for those of you who are the unwashed who don't understand. Anyway, okay. So that's that. Let's see. What are you doing tomorrow? I will go to the gym. I will go to work. I will, it's Monday. So I don't think I have a podcast scheduled tomorrow. I'd have to check. Yeah, I'm going to be working quite a bit. Tomorrow, catching up on some things. So yeah, that's pretty much the day. Let's see. I haven't seen you in so long. Well, you know, I'm a busy person. What can I say? You know, it's funny. I know there's people who will message me and want me to do things or go out or whatever. And I appreciate it and I want to, and I want to hang out with everybody and I want to talk to everybody, but man, you know, sometimes it's just so hard. You know, unless it's scheduled out, it's just hard to do like on a last minute basis for me. So appreciate it. You know, whoever you are, reach out, maybe we can do something. Okay. Let's see. Let's see. Now that the Kings are out, who are you rooting for? Ooh. Yeah. Anybody playing the Lakers? I, you know, my dad is a Celtics fan. and has been my whole life. So I always kind of have a, you know, I would love to see the Celtics win again. You know, at this point, when the Kings aren't playing, really, other than wanting to see the Lakers lose, I really just hope for like great moments in basketball. And just there are some guys who I'd love to see win a championship. Like I'd love to see the Nuggets go back to back, because I think that Nikola Jokic is a phenomenal player that just because he's not flashy doesn't really get his due. And I think it's really cool to see so many young teams this year, kind of young players kind of starting to fill the roles of some of the older guys like SGA and Chet Holmgren. Victor Wembanyama, man, in a few years, it's just that's going to be a problem for everybody. Even the Kings, like Keegan Murray, I think is going to be one of these guys who's going to be a quiet force in the league. And then like seeing Jalen Brunson and the Knicks just really have a breakout year, I mean, that's just cool too. So I think that the whole league is actually way better when the Knicks are good. I don't know why that is, but I just think that having the Knicks in there, it makes things more exciting. Like I just, yeah. Anyway. Okay. So what's your kink? I don't really. Yeah, you know, I'm not one to share much about my. I've never been one to share intimacy stuff. I just that's just between me and who I'm with. You know what I mean? And so, yeah, I don't really go deep into that. I've never been one to kiss and tell. In fact, I'll just share the story about that. When I was on the basketball team, I won't say which one or what year, but I was on a basketball team and I was in the locker room, and we were in locker room, you know, everyone's heard of locker room talk. I remember a couple of the guys talking about a girl in the school who they both had, I guess, dated or been with or whatever. And they were talking about, you know, kind of what they had done with her. And the way they were talking about her, I remember thinking to myself, if that girl knew what these guys were saying, she would probably not feel super great about herself. So, I just remember at that point saying, you know, I got like a couple of really close friends that pretty much know everything about me. But like, as far as sharing what goes on in my bedroom, like that's just not something I ever do. But I'll just say this in general, I am not particularly like, I don't know. I'm not particularly... I think I'm generally pretty vanilla. So, you know, that's just kind of, I don't know. That's all I'll say. So, okay. What's the most important trait for you in a relationship? I don't even know if I'm qualified to comment at all on relationships. I don't know. I think communication has proven to be the most important thing, and an ability to communicate. I would say in general, I think the most important thing in a relationship is in any relationship that you have. And I'm like, look, I'm going through this, you know, I've gone through this before. And, you know, in any relationship you have, and it's not even really even just, it goes to romantic relationships, but any relationship, right? Like, sometimes you have to make adjustments for your partner or for the other person in the relationship if you want to maintain the relationship. And I think the issue, a lot of the issues that come from relationships and particularly in communication is when what one person is kind of expected to do all the adjusting. And so I think that communicating properly is just, it's got to be the most important thing. And I'm not particularly I think I'm good at communicating when I want to, but there are times when I don't want to, and I don't want to talk about it. And I think knowing that too, I think everybody has a mode where they want answers fixed. Like they want you to tell them what they should do. Like they want you to fix the problem. And then I think there are times when really what they want is you to just hear them and let them vent. And just knowing that, I think, is important. I think also someone who is willing to fight the big fights with you. And that's not necessarily meaning that they're willing to fight with you big. I mean, like, you're going to, yeah, there's always something. Like, life doesn't get any, it doesn't get any less complicated ever. At least it hasn't in 43 years for me. So, you know, that someone is willing to stick it out and be there with you and kind of fight the fight with you. And also, I think it's important to be able to quickly, I don't know if I'd say quickly get over. I think it's important to also be willing to stick in and communicate through the problem till the problem is solved. You know, that's also really important. So I don't know if any of that made sense. Like I said, I don't even know right now if I'm communicating, if I'm qualified to even talk about this. That's the one area where I think I struggle. So, there it is. So, where did you serve a mission? Was it a good experience? Yeah, I did. I served a mission. I served in Indiana, in the Indianapolis mission, and it was a fantastic experience and it shaped the rest of my life. I served a full 2 years from May of 2000 to June of 2002, just by virtue of the way that the dates worked. It was a little bit longer than 2 years. And I was actually one of the rare ones that only had four areas. Most had six or more. I had four. I usually tended to stay in places longer. So I served in a little branch called Fall Creek, which is right in the kind of the ghetto of Indianapolis. I served in Columbus, which is down south, which is kind of probably the same size as like a Gridley, California, maybe a little bit bigger, maybe like a Yuba City, California. Which was right near Bloomington. And then I served in Huntington, which was about 30 minutes south of Fort Wayne, which was my favorite area. And then I served my last 7.5 months in South Bend, covering South Bend and Notre Dame campus. And that was a lot of fun too. And those last two areas, I was serving as a zone leader as well. Had a great time, met a lot of wonderful people, grew spiritually, physically, emotionally. It was great. And if you have a chance to go, I would highly recommend you do it. So, okay, let's see. Was there one I missed? Let me see here. Do you have a dream trip or a bucket list trip? Yes, I do. I have several. In fact, I was It's funny. I was looking through a list I'd made of trips that I thought to myself that I wanted to do. And there were several. I have a list of, I think, 15 or 20 things I'd like to do before I die. And I'm starting to knock things off of the list. Things like I'd love to, like, run the Bulls. I'd like to attend Carnival in Rio de Janeiro. I'd like to hike Machu Picchu. I would like to walk the Great Wall of China. I'd like to see sumo wrestling in Japan. So yeah, there's a lot of them. There's a lot of things I would really like to do. So, you know, New York on New Year's Eve. So that one I think is in the works. So we'll see. But yeah, so we that's kind of where we're some of the things I'd like to do. So yeah, I got a lot of bucket list trips I'd like to make. And quite frankly, WrestleMania with the boys would count as a bucket list trip for me. Like, I love that. And I love also just taking my kids to, like, Disneyland and doing things like that. It's just a lot of fun. So, all right. So, next, I got a this message, a email, whatever you want to call it. It was a message, but kind of more like an email, short one. Says, Dear Josh, thanks for all that you do. Thank you for being a great example of what a dad should be. Thank you for just being so inspiring. Thank you. I appreciate you saying that. I don't necessarily always feel like I'm being super inspiring, but regardless. It says, I feel like a stalker because I follow you on everything. I see you taking trips, doing wrestling, podcasts, working, doing things with your kids. How do you manage it all? How much do you sleep? And what advice could you give to dads out there who are struggling to maintain it all? You make it look easy. Sleep. I get okay sleep. 6 hours, usually. Just depending. But this stuff is not easy. It is not easy. It's rewarding, but it's not easy. I am really tired. you know, this, quite frankly, this podcast I'm recording, I don't even know. I didn't even really want to, if you can't tell, I know it's a little low energy, guys, and I'm sorry, but I am really tired. I am so tired. Like, not like sleepy. I mean, there's that too, but like just emotionally, spiritually tired. It's just, you know, it's just deep in my soul, you know, it's been an emotional roller coaster for a long time around here. And we all feel it. You know what I mean? I know the kids feel it. You know, I try so hard to do things to kind of shield them from it and to kind of put you know, some of this stuff is just, it's almost like some of these trips and things that we do are distractions to try to keep them on track, and it works. You know what I mean? Like, I got to say, like, these kids are so resilient and they're doing so well, and they just, I couldn't say enough about that, but man, like, yeah, it's a lot. And you know, it's actually funny. I've been thinking about this a lot lately, about the people around me. And sometimes I get a little frustrated when people say things like, you make it look so easy. And I understand it comes from a good place, right? But I think it's human nature to, like, look at a person whose just entire life is a wreck. Or obviously they have issues in all sorts of places, you know, like, or the people whose, like, mental health issues are just so obviously apparent, or, you know, they have some sort of an addiction issue, or they're one of these people who are just very overt and out loud about what they're going through. And it's just human nature to see those people and like want to help them, right? And unfortunately, I also think it's human nature to look at someone who might be struggling as well, but they're also thriving, or there's someone who is a, you know, quote unquote, like someone just recently texted me about being a grinder, you know, or like being somebody who can, you know, have hard times, but push through. And I think it's human nature to look at those people and go, you know, okay, yeah, you know, they're having these things, but they can handle it, you know, good for them. They can still do it. They can handle it. And like kind of not provide that support necessarily. And, you know, it's a little frustrating because like, just because, and this is going to sound kind of, I don't know, I don't like being this vulnerable necessarily, but like, yeah, I get up every morning and I do everything and this all looks great on Facebook. And like, and it is, but it's not like I don't have hard times too. You know what I mean? Like, it's not like I don't need support too. You know what I mean? And it's almost like you have to portray yourself as a victim in order to get the support of a victim. So even if you are a victim, unless you are trumpeting that victimhood, you're not going to get it. Or maybe it's because like, look, you know, I have advantages because I'm a tall, you know, successful white guy. So I'm on the bottom of the list, but maybe, I don't know. I'm just throwing that out there, but it is a little frustrating when like, you know, I'm not fine. You know what I mean? Like I'm so, but as far as advice, like, I don't know, man, I'm all out of it. I'm all out of advice. You know, there's not like a thing I can tell you that can make you better at this. You just have to do it. You just have to put it in your head that you're going to do it. You know, you just have to wake up in the morning and look in the mirror. And some days you give yourself some sort of affirmation. And some days you just yell obscenities. And then you just dig deep, you bury your head, and you just keep doing it. You know? And I think the reason why, and I mentioned this, I just turned 43. 40 freaking 3. Gosh dang it. This thing is just, it's going on forever. And like, sorry. I don't mean to pull the wool back, the curtain back that much. There are some things in my life that I keep private for good reason, for protection of everyone around me. And I know people wonder about those things, but I'm going to keep them private because they just are. But, you know, I think part of the reason why I am able to do these things despite is because I think long ago I accepted some hard truths. I don't know if I've ever shared this, but I think when I was 16, 17 years old, I remember there was a moment when I had some ideas of things I wanted to do, and I was thinking about what I wanted to do after high school. And I saw what was going on. You know, I've been real clear about my dad being a recovered drug addict over 25 years, and he's great. He's awesome now. But in that time, a lot of uncertainty in my life. And I remember looking around and seeing like my mom struggling and my dad, you know, even when he came out, struggling a little bit, and everybody struggling, and everything was kind of falling around us. And I just remember thinking to myself, like, these people, my parents are obviously care about me and love me and want to support me, but man, they have got so much stuff going on. Like, I am really on my own. And so I think that that is a hard truth that a lot of people have to first accept. And that is that nobody, especially if you're a guy, I think nobody's coming to save you. Like, that's just the way it is. Like, nobody is coming to save you. You have to save yourself. Some people will try to save you, maybe, but like, it's really you that's got to do it. And I'm talking to myself too. You know, like, you got to do it yourself. And I also had to accept that it wasn't going to be a sprint. It was going to be a marathon. And it's not just a marathon walking straight, like in a straight line or up. You're not just going up to the mountaintop. It's over peaks and through valleys. There's just mud holes to pull through. There's just thorns and you know, bushes, and you know, there's beautiful scenes, and there's just the most difficult storms. It's uncomfortable. It's difficult. It's painful. But the thing is that most wars are not won under ideal circumstances. So sometimes you have to just crawl through and dig through the trenches. And I think over the last, at least a lot of adulthood, especially the last 5 years, I've just accepted those terms and I've tried to push through the best way I can, not perfectly by any means. But I've tried to push through. And the good news is that the more you push through the trenches, the more you go through the fire, the more that fire refines you. The more pressure you feel, the stronger you become. And it galvanizes you, because unfortunately, the way that this world works and the way that life works is that there are heavier storms ahead. There will be good times and there will be bad times, and things only get more complicated as you get older. And so I've also learned that there's also several people out there who don't believe that. There are a bunch of people out there who will sell you on the lie that the war cannot be won, that the fire is just too much, that the odds are too great, that your external circumstances, no matter how much resolve you have and how much you desire, will actually dictate your failure regardless of what you do. Those people are forever victims. And they will look at you and they will say that you can't. And the reason they say that is because they can't. They can't. They will never succeed. Those people who want to blame all of the external stuff and talk about, oh, they can't because of X, Y, and Z, and their trauma, or their where they were born, or their whatever thing that puts them farther ahead in the race, or farther behind in the race, rather, that those things are the reason why they can't do it. And the thing is that those people will lose again and again and again, because they would rather take the easy road of just giving all control of the outcome to external circumstances instead of taking ownership of themselves. And I would tell you that if you want to win this and you want to be able to do all these things, you got to stay away from those people like the plague. Those people who will look at you and you'll tell them, oh, you can do it. And they'll go, no, I can't because my ex this, or I can't because, you know, this person burned me. My parents were terrible, or I was born in the wrong city. I was born with, you know, I was born in humble circumstances. Avoid them like the plague. They're just as deadly. Because they'll rob you of your own resolve. They'll suck you dry of all that power that you already have. And so it's a bit of a rant. So the person who sent this message, like, I don't know your circumstances. I don't know why bad things happen to good people, why kids get cancer. I don't know why people are born into poverty or why people are born with disabilities. I don't know why God or the world makes it easier on some people than others, or why your parents were so messed up, or why your significant other bailed on you, or why, you know, you're doing this alone, or any terrible circumstances you or I may find ourselves in. But there's one thing I can tell you, and that is these things are possible for anybody. There is nothing special about Josh Edlow that can't be done by any other person. I am of average intelligence. I'm an average guy who happens to be an above average height and weight. But other than that, there's nothing special about me. If you want to be, you can be an A-plus father and an A-plus lawyer or street sweeper or electrician or fast food worker. You can be an A-plus at everything if you just accept that it's going to be hard and you can do it despite. That is how you win. And so that is my advice to you. The number one thing is just accept that you can. There's an interesting thing I looked up recently. I heard about this. It was called the expectation effect. I think I've talked about this a few times on the podcast, but I'm going to do it one more time in case this is your first time around me. So the expectation effect came about in a couple of different studies. And I'm probably going to butcher them, and someone's going to probably roast me and say, oh, you got this wrong. But the general idea is the same. There's two different studies that I think highlight this. There was one study where they had two groups of kids. And one of the groups of kids had learning disabilities and the others didn't. And they took these teachers and they put them in there, said they were going to be a part of a study. And so they took all the kids with learning disabilities and they put them in one group, and they put the regular kids, the kids without disabilities, in the other group. And they told the teachers that were going to be teaching the kids with learning disabilities that those kids were gifted, that they were smart, and that they should expect that those kids would outperform the other kids. And guess what? They did. There was another study with rats. They took these rats and they split them up into two groups. Then they had two groups of people who were going to run them through a maze. And when they were going to run them through the maze, they told one group, they said, these rats were specifically bred, trained to run the maze. You should expect that these rats will run the maze faster than the other rats. And they did by two times. So what does that tell us? It tells us that your expectation will affect performance. So that old adage, if you think you can or you think you can't, you're right. And there's a lot of people out there who want to tell you all the reasons why things can't happen. But if you just believe that you can succeed. So every morning when I wake up, sometimes I don't want to get up. The alarm goes off. I hit the snooze a couple times every once in a while. But then I get up and I look up and I go, all right, here's what I got to do today. And I just get up and I freaking do it. And I don't think about all the reasons why I can't do it. I just push through, and it's been successful. And that's why I'll continue to be successful, because it doesn't matter what comes. It doesn't matter who tries to stop me. It doesn't matter what. I will continue to be successful. And the thing is also, this is the last advice I'll give you. And that is, this is a bit of a rant. This isn't what you asked, but I'm still going to say it anyway. I have spent a lot of time in the last few years, especially thinking about what really matters most. I often, when I go to sleep, I sleep with the TV on. And I just like having background noise, and I'm usually shooting through The Office, or sometimes it used to be Cheers, but now it's I'm watching a lot of Roseanne as I'm falling asleep. And for those of you who know or have watched the show, in the last couple seasons they had won the lottery, and you know, they thought, you know, the whole show was about how they never had any money and they were working class and they just trying to make ends meet. And then they had all this money, and there was a scene I just recently watched where Roseanne looks at her sister and says, we thought having all this money would make things so much better. And she goes, it's just money. And that's true. Like, all the things, the trips, all that stuff. It's nice. It is. But what really matters most is those kids you got and the relationships you build and the people you love. And stay close to them and do what you can for them and listen to them. You know, they'll tell you. They'll tell you what they're thinking about if you just listen. And so that's it. I think that's all the questions. I had a couple more of these, like, people just, I want to say I appreciate everybody who will send, I don't know if it's just like a couple people or what, sending these, you know, you're so great messages, and I appreciate that. I don't need that. I don't know why I'm so uncomfortable sometimes with that, but I am, you know. I don't think I'm doing anything that's particularly novel. And I don't think that I'm that great. So that's the hard thing. I don't think people understand how hard it is to have all these people praising you and thinking you're so great and not believing it, you know. But good news is that drives me to be better. So that went dark, didn't it? Jeez. Anyway, so with that, I'm enjoying the podcast. I hope you are too. Keep listening, subscribe. I love everybody who sends me messages and tells me what their favorites are and what they liked about certain ones. It always warms my heart when I run into somebody, especially just out in the wild, who says, "Hey, I watched your podcast with X or Y or Z," and it just, it means a lot to me. So we're gonna keep it going. I don't know how much longer. I'll just keep going until I get tired of it, or you get tired of it. Probably when I get tired of it. I don't even care if you guys are listening or not. I just enjoy what I'm doing. Anyway, so that's it. We'll talk to you soon. Thanks.